Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Joe Courtney, one of my favorite people, a guy from Connecticut who knows all about boats and you name it, and the Long Island Sound, and he's been with us for a long time. Welcome back, Joe.
Great to be here.
Okay,
thanks, Alan.
So, you know, there's a lot going on, a lot of protests about police brutality. We're seeing a lot of young people turning out. What do you make of the whole thing?
You know, it's really, having been around a bit, I mean, you can sort of sniff out, you know, when an issue is sort of manufactured or scripted or, created as opposed to an issue that is really organic and real. And this clearly falls into the latter category in a way that it's hard to remember, you know, something this powerful happening. And so, again, as you point out, I represent the sort of rural small town part of Connecticut, 63 towns. Drew a line down the middle of Connecticut. Everything to the right is pretty much the second district. So there really is no urban density in this district. The largest town is about 47,000 people. I'll tell you, Alan, it has been amazing to watch in these small towns, vigils, marches, gatherings. Just this past weekend, high school students coming together and organizing it on their own. I mean, without any, as I said, scripting or direction at all. And so in Waterford, Connecticut, which is one of those shoreline towns, there was about 400 or 500 kids out yesterday, really passionate and articulate. Again, I could just rattle off one town after another where this is coming together and happening. Very mixed crowds racially, which is, really, and again, another indicator that something pretty unique is happening and special. And it's obviously shaking the walls in Washington with the introduction of the Justice and Policing Act last week. The hearing markup is going to happen this week, and we're voting next week. And the House obviously has shown an ability to move legislation over the last 2 years. But even in the Senate, I mean, we're actually seeing, the tectonic plates starting to move over there. It's not.
How come? How come? Why are the Republicans taking notice?
Well, again, I think that, what's happening in Eastern Connecticut is, I think, happening in communities all across the country. And I think, there's a recognition that, there's something going on here that, as they need to sort of at least present a gesture or an indication that they're responding to it. I mean, Trump signed an executive order that was complete fluff, but at least, it talked about policing and, some change in terms of policing tactics. I think it's just political survival that is forcing the Senate to actually realize they cannot just stonewall this like they did with gun violence and DACA and so many other issues. I mean, this one, the numbers are just overwhelming in terms of polling, but really even more importantly in terms of just the grassroots citizen participation that's happening all across the country.
Now, Joe Courtney, what do you think about the fact that these demonstrations are both white as well as black and young, very young?
Yeah.
What does this all signify?
You know, that's what I think in some ways is what shows that there's something happening here that is just not going to be, a moment, that there really is something generational and cross-racial that, I think has always made, in the past, getting people to respond in terms of issues of racial injustice and civil rights so difficult. Again, there have been moments, back in the 1960s with the Selma, incident where I think, you had President Johnson actually going to Congress and addressing what happened there and passing the Voting Rights Act, within a month afterwards. So, there's moments when I think, you sort of, the issue, breaks out of just sort of, racial or ethnic density or concentration and becomes biracial and, broad-based. And I clearly that's happening right now. I mean, it's, to listen to a guy like, you know, Tim Scott, Republican in the Senate, just talking about body cameras and, you know, chokeholds now is sort of a given, you know, in terms of whatever package that they come out with. I mean, you know, 6 weeks ago, you wouldn't in your wildest dreams have ever predicted, you know, that would ever happen, except for the fact that, again, you know, guys like him and they're looking at their states and their communities and they're realizing, you know, that they got to move.
Do you think this could lead to the Democrats taking the Senate?
So I think there's a lot of things that are going on out there that are pushing the numbers in a way that, again, as far as I'm concerned, is very hopeful. I was looking at a Des Moines Register poll that came out yesterday that has Jody Ernst down about 4 or 5 points. That race was really not one of the real top targeted races up until really just even a couple months ago. And, I mean, we all know about Maine and Colorado and Arizona as states where the Democrats have the potential to make pickups. But, again, if you're starting to pick up states like Iowa, then, you know, this is really getting a lot more interesting in terms of, you know, hitting the magic number to take the gavel away from Mitch McConnell.
I was just going to mention Mitch McConnell because I've seen polls in which he's either running dead even or 1 point behind. Now, do I expect he's going to lose in, you know, red state Kentucky? No, but it is extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, even he, you know, has, again, moved in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, he now has said that he would actually support a new COVID stimulus bill. He wants one smaller than the HEROES Act that we passed in the House. But again, you know, 2 months ago or a month and a half ago, he was talking about, well, let the states file bankruptcy. You know, and I think, you know, he realizes his own personal situation requires him to move. And he's even made some comments, utterances that show some sympathy for police reform as well. Again, I think it's not going to come, you know, in the same realm as the House bill that we're going to vote on shortly. But you're right. I mean, I think that he's got it's a great candidate, Amy McGrath, running, and it sounds like she's got her own challenge in the primary, but and a good guy running there as well. So Kentucky, even Kentucky, he's sweating a little bit. He realizes he's you know, it's not a slam dunk in political environment.
Okay, very quickly then, what about the way in which we're looking at the presidential election? You think at this stage of the game that this president is toast?
So, again, you know, traditionally I would pretty much say, well, you know, June is still an eternity away from Election Day and, you know, the you know, fluidity of events that are happening. But I really believe that we're starting to see some hardening. And if you look at the, you know, approval and disapproval ratings for Trump that are happening out there and, you know, the Federal Reserve comments regarding the recession a couple of days ago shows that, you know, the notion that there's going to be a rocket ship recovery, as the Trump says, is just, you know, total fantasy. And so, this thing is starting to harden, as I said, and that, you know, I think is going to be hard for him to reverse, you know, in terms of just his things that he's already done and said that he really can't take back.
Our friend Joe Courtney on the Congressional Corner. Joe from Connecticut, we are the beautiful 2nd District. We are so delighted to have you with us. And when we come back the next time, I don't know, let's talk a little bit of COVID, okay?
Thanks, Alan.